You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, November 25, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now. For those of you off today, still enjoying your holiday, good. Good time to be listening. And you can go to rumble.com right now and go to the page, Larry Connors, USA, push live. You join us in studio. Bring some turkey leftovers. I'm still ready to have some more. And reminding you, if you miss any of the programs, either on Rumble or audio portion of the program, you can always get the podcast and the Rumbles later in the day. Our Rumble page will be posted later, and so is today's program. Quentin will have the podcast ready within 15 minutes after we go off the air. The man is amazing. Pretty darn fast. So at the same time you're listening, let others know about it so they can hear it in case they missed it. Well, as we were talking in the last hour, we might well have a national rail strike. It's being seen as an increasingly likely event as four rail worker unions now rejecting a tentative agreement. We had a brokered a deal, apparently, between the rail unions and rail carriers. That was while Biden was campaigning, and Pete Buttigieg was who knows where he was or who cared. But union concerns now sitting around sick time scheduling, and they're looking at the deal as could happen as early as December 9 or the 10th or 11th or 12th. Either way, you know it's going to be right in the middle of December when packages and mail are going back and forth across the nation. Chemical containers on rails, those kind of items are going to be shut down 3 to 4 days before December 9. So even if December 9 comes and there is no strike on that day, well, December 6 or 5, they're already going to stop any transport of hazardous materials such as gas, petroleum products, and other things because they don't want to have a disaster on the rails while the situation might be manned by previous railroad workers or others who have been brought in to fill in. So that means it's going to be another pressure point for oil and gas prices for you and for the trucks that will hopefully try to make up the ground. The railroads can't deliver the goods, and diesel fuel will be among those fuels that won't be available or being shorter. We have the Moody's Analytics chief economist is predicting that, in his words, 2023, speaking of the economy, is going to be, and I quote him, it's going to be a pretty tough year. We're going to see job growth slow, may see some declines, unemployment will rise. Right now there are a lot of jobs open out there. People just don't want to work because they've been getting subsidy checks or things like that. But if you think there's a job out there, you better go get the one you want now. The Georgia Supreme Court the other day reinstated the Peach State's heartbeat bill. A left-wing Fulton County judge overturned it. That measure banned most abortions after 6 weeks, as a fetal heartbeat is typically detectable by 6 weeks. So the Georgia Supreme Court reinstated the heartbeat bill. We're going to spend more time on that later in this hour, and also about the women who had abortions and took Thanksgiving Day to talk about how thankful they are that they had an abortion. I'm sorry, but it's one of those things you need to know about. It's not going to be easy to hear. Washington, D.C. public schools, as I mentioned earlier today, will be requiring students and staff test negative for coronavirus before they come back. Told you that's going to happen. And the CDC, of course, had recommended maybe everybody should have a booster as part of their immunization schedule. It's not official, but they'll probably go that direction. In the meantime, experts say that they're going to see a stir-up of a new coronavirus subvariant because of the holidays and so forth. Fox Business Network's Congressman Tom McClintock, Republican of California, appearing, said, no more aid to Ukraine until the European Union matches what we've already sent and we get a complete audit of what we sent and how it's been used. I agree. Oh, speaking of money, money lost. Disney's latest animated feature, The Gay Green Strange World, tanking at the box office, no surprise. Cost $150 to $180 million to produce. Maybe made $20
million. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price. No extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here's my question then. If you're not censoring speech and if you're not treating Americans as domestic terrorists, then why is it that you're pressuring big tech to treat American citizens as if they're threats to the homeland? Why are you pressuring them to censor speech? Let's take a look at some new documents that have come to light that show what your administration is doing, this administration is doing to censor speech. Let's take a look at this email from July 16th, 2021. It's over my shoulder here. Facebook emailing HHS saying, I know our teams met today to better understand the scope of what the White House expects from us on misinformation going forward. Are you familiar with that email?
No.
Let's try another one.
And if I should,
how about we'll get to that. You're not familiar with this. All right, let's try a different one. Here's one from July 20th, 2021. The White House emails Facebook saying, "Any way we can get this pulled down?" 46 seconds later, Facebook responds, "Yep, we're on it." Are you familiar with that email?
No.
I don't know, but I know nothing. I know nothing. I didn't know about all this stuff that they, all this contact was going on back and forth between the government agencies, which would include the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. And listen, that's part of an exchange that took place at a recent congressional hearing. I wanted to have something like today where I don't have a lot of pressing things that had to be dealt with so we could spend more time on this. Because here is where the issue has been for quite some time. You know it. You know it already. Maybe you've already been censored or thrown off page, Facebook or YouTube or something like that. That's why we are now on Rumble. I mean, you can go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, push that button live, and you join us in studio. We still have a YouTube page up. I mean, I don't know why they didn't pull it down. It still shows I don't know, 500 plus subscribers that have not left. They're still, they're not getting anything anymore. I don't know what's going on, but that's fine. Let it stay there. It's fine by me. A lot of good programs on there, by the way. But we have seen this for some time now. And you can go all the way back to the most damning impact of big tech cowering or marching to the drum from the White House or someone who wanted to be in the White House, reference the Hunter Biden laptop story. That one's at the very top. The censoring you because you might have said something about, you know, maybe ivermectin would help with COVID, and you got blasted as, you know, you're creating fear in other people, and that's not real factual information. Or you said, you know, I just don't think that election was staged correctly. I don't think something went wrong with it. Well, you're an election denier, and you get your account pulled or knocked off. Now Musk is taking control of it. Suppose it's going to get better. Let's see how it shakes out. But it does have a lot of the liberals very concerned. There are some changes now that I still can't figure out. I was trying to reach a guest today for the program, and all I had was his Twitter account, so I'm trying to reach him. But if he's not in what they now call my circle of friends, I don't think he got the message. Then I got to go in and Twitter and figure out, well, how do I put somebody on there? Can I put somebody new on? Can then I send them a message? It's totally confusing. And then there are going to be gray marks, I think, for corporations, or maybe gray marks are going to be for government. I might have that confused. And then there will be different colored marks for another group. And then there will be blue marks, or the blue bird that you see for every individual. But if you want that blue mark, you might have to pay $10 or more a month to get it. I could care less. Quentin and I were talking about this earlier. He said he hadn't been on Twitter, what did you say, 4 or 5 years, something like that, yeah. I use it partly as a promotional vehicle for this program, as you well know, and many of you do follow it and use it. And I advise you to, you know, I'm not telling you to boycott or do anything. I'm just saying there are a lot of changes coming. Let's see how it shakes out. A lot of folks did leave Twitter. They went to either Parler, and then they went to Trump's new tweet machine, Trust Social. I'm on both of those, but there's not much activity going on either one of them. And I honestly have fallen off even bothering to post on those because I know where the majority is to be found. Now, how many of them are bots that don't really exist as people? I don't know. I do know that my numbers on there would seem to go up and down. All of a sudden, somebody didn't like something I said, and my numbers would fall off. You know, if it was money out of my pocket, I'd be really concerned. Beyond that, I don't care. I've been in this business long enough. I've dealt with ratings for 50-plus years. One rating session, you're at the very, very top. Next one, maybe you're tied for number two. Then they reorganize a rating system, and now you're at the top, but your number is way below what it was when you were number one on the other. You never know how this is going to go. But what we have evidence of constantly here is that big tech has been manipulating, controlling information, censoring information to the American public under the guise of, we know better. And then Twitter actually had to come out and admit, if you recall, that, well, we just had this fact-finding group was nothing more than a bunch of individuals, just like you, probably not like you, because you might be more conservative, but they just had their view about certain things. If it didn't fit their view, it probably should be pulled. Musk apparently has already put together a panel like that, trying to bring all kinds of different elements together, but I'm afraid when you do that, there's always going to be one trying to overtake the other. He says it's supposed to be an open soapbox, electronic for everyone. So everybody wants to get a speech. Unless you're advocating harming someone, pedophilia, things of that nature. But lately, some of the stuff that's passing around out there on some of the social media, that, like this Bargentia advertising campaign we talked about last week, basically selling children to pedophiles. They did say they were doing that, but that was the gist of it. They'd taken a lot of backlash to back off of that. But here we have Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri questioning DHS Secretary Mayorkas, and he just doesn't seem to know anything, which is always amazing to me because I know they'd know, and yet they think they're good to go out there and act like they're stupid. Does that sound like that makes them look better? No, but let's go at it again.
A federal judge has just found as a finding of fact, Mr. Secretary, that your office, and I'm going to quote now, is supervising the nerve center of federally directed censorship. It's a federal judge in a federal lawsuit. You are supervising the nerve center of federally directed censorship. Here's another email, August 20th, 2021. Facebook writes again to HHS and highlights that Facebook is increasing the strength of our demotions for COVID and vaccine-related content. April 16th, 2021, Rob Flaherty at the White House circulates a Zoom meeting invitation to Twitter employees stating White House staff will be briefed by Twitter on vaccine misinformation. We have example after example of this administration coordinated, apparently, according to a federal court, by your agency, pressuring, coercing social media companies to engage in censorship. Is that constitutional?
The question, is that constitutional? That should simply be a yes or no, and you know it should be a no. I don't have time for you here, Mayorkas. We don't really do that. We do the same thing like Merrick Garland. I don't know where they find all these mealy-mouthed people to get up there and serve as official White House cabinet members and spokesmen, because from when I listen to them, they don't seem to say a single sentence that makes sense. Not one. Well, I heard that out there. I didn't catch you, but I heard you. You're blaming, you're saying that I can't either because mine always are Texas accent. Well, that ain't that just tough. You're just going to have to live with that one. But these guys, they don't know. They never have the facts in front of them. How do you go to a congressional Senate hearing and you pretty well know, here's the title of why we're meeting. You know what the subject going to be. And then, I didn't know. Come on. At least you could say the dog ate your homework. Try that one. See if that'll work for you. But we're not done. Let's take one more run. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas being questioned by Missouri Senator Josh Hawley about how you guys work with big government to censor and shut down, quote, they don't say it, enemies of the state.
Example after example of this administration coordinated, apparently, according to a federal court, by your agency, pressuring, coercing social media companies to engage in censorship. Is that constitutional?
That is unequivocally false.
Is what the emails show.
It is unequivocally false, Senator.
You are not pressuring the big tech companies to take down accounts. You are not meeting with them to ask them to censor on your behalf.
That is correct. We are not.
You're not having any meetings with them whatsoever.
We meet with the tech companies.
How often?
To address the Homeland Security mission.
How often do you meet with them?
For example, online child sexual exploitation is a scourge in this country, and we have an obligation to address it.
That answer has so many lies built inside of it. Yes, it is a scourge, but he's head of Department of Homeland Security. He's not the FBI or Department of Justice Attorney General. And because our borders are open, that is why we have so much child trafficking coming across the border and then in turn being advertised on various social media. And I'm all for shutting that down. I will not give that a pass. But you're contributing to it because you continue to let the border stay open. But he's trying to paint us that we're the good guys on the horses. We have the white hats. We save children. You're allowing predators to bring children across our southern border, claiming it's their child, and that child is probably sold off into some sex den. And if we ever hear from them again, if they ever survive, there'll be most shocking stories. Your heart will break, and it should already. Reference Twitter and what's happening. Musk already has a problem with the European Union because they want to censor what he's doing on Twitter. He's apparently shut down his office in the de facto capital of the European Union this week at Brussels because they were going to say, we're going to tell you what you can put on in Europe and not. And if they don't comply, then we can impose fines of up to 6% of your global revenue. Well, right now, Musk appears to have shut it down. So forget it. We won't even do Twitter in your country. What do you think about that? Now what are you going to do? At the same time, he's claiming this week he's granting amnesty for all those blacklisted accounts on the platform. He said amnesty for users that had, quote, not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam, which included mostly conservatives. Granting amnesty for them so they can come in. He's already said he's willing to put President Trump back on. Trump, at last report, said, I'm not going to. We'll see if he does. He might. But he's recognizing that now that I have this, they're definitely putting all their aims and spears and bullets and flame torches at me. Yes, they certainly are. Coming up, one reason the GOP might have lost the midterm, or at least not done as well as we expected. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What we need to do is we need to realize that it's not just about getting votes. That's obviously part of every election. But now, because the Democrats have changed the rules, it's also about collecting ballots or getting ballots in. So we need to start telling people that it's okay to vote by mail, but drop it off at the local place. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get sick. You don't know if you're going to have to go out of town on emergency. The Democrats are ruthlessly effective at harvesting ballots and focusing on ballot. I would argue they're more focused on that than actual messaging.
That is an excellent point. You were listening then to the state representative Republican in Pennsylvania, Guy Reichenthaler. He said, Republicans need to start doing that. We need to start telling people it is okay to vote by mail. You know what they were having trouble with in Maricopa County, and still are at last check, and getting votes counted? A lot of the people decided to drive their ballots to the election office or to a drop box rather than putting it in the mail, fearing that the mail wouldn't get it there, especially if it indicated that the voter might have picked a Republican candidate. But on Newsmax TV, State Representative Reichenthaler, Republican of Pennsylvania, said the Democrats have this figured out. They know how to win, even if it involves cheating. He didn't say the word cheating, but I am. And the more mail-in ballots that come in, the more questions have to be raised. I have on my Facebook site right now, there are pictures still up there of a guy dropping a bundle of about 12 to 15 all-green election-type looking envelopes at one time into a mailbox. There are other pictures I haven't had a chance to put up and I probably will not get around to anyway, but we're guys driving up and taking a box of these things over to the mailbox and putting them in and stuffing them in as fast as he can, all caught on camera. Well, maybe he was just helping out a bunch of folks at an elderly home, and they just wanted him to take their votes and do that for them, you think? He could have been. Do you think he helped mark the ballots for them? He could have. Do you think he asked them, who do you want me to put the vote for? And then he did what they said, or he did something different? The point being made here is, if this is going to be the future, Republicans, are you listening? Conservatives, are you listening? Independents, are you listening? Democrats, who've been chased out of some of their races, and they've also complained inside their own party that the Democrat primary candidate pulled these kind of shenanigans on them, are you listening? Because, again, the state representative from Pennsylvania says, here's how you play the game.
The Democrats are ruthlessly effective at harvesting ballots and focusing on ballots. I would argue they're more focused on that than actual messaging. Yeah. We as Republicans need to do both. And for those Republicans out there who don't like this and think that we shouldn't be engaged in this, this wasn't our call. It was the Democrat General Assemblies in so many states that made it so easy to collect ballots and just do ballot harvesting and lower the threshold for mail-in votes. We need to just say, okay, these are the rules. We're going to play by your rules, and we're going to beat you at your own rules.
That's what they're going to have to do. I mean, if that is what you're going to allow, you're going to have more and more of these mail-in ballots, and you're going to allow them for any reason to go there. And there's a good reason for having it. You know, if you suddenly think, well, I'm not going to be available. I always was voting absentee, even though I knew I'd be in town, because I knew I'd probably end up being covering the election, and I don't want to be stuck with it, and I can't get to the polling place. So I technically lied, said I was going to be out of town. I knew I wasn't going to be out of town, generally. Sometimes something might come up, but I wanted to make sure I got a chance to vote, so I'd vote early. Maybe what I should have done is like some others do, vote early and vote often. Coming up, a horrifying story of women and how they celebrated and why they did Thanksgiving.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, this next segment is going to be difficult for me, and I'm sure it's going to be difficult for you, but you cannot ignore it. It will not go away simply because we don't discuss it. I will tell you that if you are sitting with small children listening at this point, you might want to send them another direction for a while. Again, it's not that they don't know it and shouldn't know it, but it's not going to be graphic. I'm not trying to get you into that mode. I'm just trying to say that the subject itself is extremely distressing on so many levels. Let me begin by pointing out something that we did earlier today in the news and commentary. I told you about the Georgia Supreme Court. That's the state Supreme Court in Georgia. Reinstated the Georgia heartbeat bill. Now, the heartbeat bill basically makes it a ruling in that state that if a heartbeat can be detected, and that's usually at 6 weeks, an abortion is banned. Other states have done similar. Well, in Georgia, of course, they fought to overturn that. They have a left-wing Fulton County judge, and he said, no, we're not going to, you can still have an abortion if the heartbeat of the baby is detected and it's 6 weeks. You can still have it. And there are some who say it should be available for abortion right up to the moment of birth, maybe even just before the umbilical cord is cut. So the state Supreme Court, in a one-page, reversed that lower court's ruling. They have an election coming up, as you know, December 6th. This is runoff in Georgia for the state Senate seat, which is critical because we have the House under control of conservatives now, but it's a thin margin, and there are some spineless Republicans that got back into office. And as you know, in the Senate, if it's a 50-50 tie, which it would be even if Herschel were to win against Warnock, VP Harris would cast the deciding vote. But if he doesn't win, they don't need her vote. They'll steamroll everything they can through. And they'll do as everything they can on every level they want to before they're ousted come January and the new session comes in. So this is still viable. Reference the election. All the other states are midterms over, but this is a tie vote that it is going to certainly affect and involve pro-abortion Senator Raphael Warnock and pro-life Republican candidate Herschel Walker. If you know anybody in Georgia, make sure they get out and vote. Now, I want to share with you against that. We just came off of Thanksgiving. I will never forget that one of the first stories I covered when I was becoming a reporter, I had to work holidays because I'm the low guy on the pole. That's understandable. No complaint. Just do it, and maybe somebody would fix some Thanksgiving things and bring them to the station. If you got then, maybe you get a bite to eat, maybe you didn't. That time, there was really not that many, quote, McDonald's and fast food franchises available, even if they were open. So there wasn't much. And even the service station didn't have a lot of fast food items inside there either. So you probably had to make plans ahead. I will never forget going to a story that happened at a home. A shooting broke out, a shooting with a knifing, as a matter of fact, among people at this Thanksgiving dinner. And I think the argument centered around who's going to carve the turkey and how is it supposed to be carved. It's that simple, but there was also, no surprise here, alcohol involved. Well, this Thanksgiving, there is a group, Nation Magazine, had a piece on women that were thankful on Thanksgiving Day and were celebrating Thanksgiving Day because they had had an abortion. Because they had an abortion, they say there's a reason to be thankful. Again, I remind you, if their mother had made that decision years ago, they wouldn't be here to be thankful, would they? And then, of course, you've got some of those who were there that were also not just talking about that, but they're talking about this. This is important because we also had to look at Thanksgiving Day itself with Columbus and everything else. It was the Europeans coming in and decimating the American Indians. It wasn't all a fun sit-down, share a corn cob and turkey type thing. It wasn't. But, of course, some of those same native tribes that came in were already warring against each other. And then there were slave ships that were brought in shortly from South Africa. And they were gathered up by other black groups in South Africa to sell them to the slave traders. It's just a constant trading of humans. It happens all the way back in the Old Testament, regardless of your race, your color, your religion. It all came into play at some point. But what gets me, and I want to point out here, one of them is talking about on here that Thanksgiving is a complicated holiday. We want to celebrate it, but it's a national festivity on the unforgivable genocide of Native Americans. We need a justice for all people. And this is terrible. And then she adds, black lives are taken by police And any sense of LGBTQ peace and tranquility replaced by gun violence and hate. And now we have Roe v. Wade stripped from his constitution. It was never in the constitution. But while she's doing that, let me give you some quick numbers here. NBC News, I'm going to give them because they got the biggest headline on this thing, pointing out that new data shows that this was issued March of this year. New data shows the number of black people killed by police has actually increased over the last 2 years. That's according to data collected by the Washington Post. Killing at least 1,055 people nationwide. Not all of those are black. It looks like 27% of those were black. That's still a horrendous number, and I don't know the circumstances, if justified or not. I don't know. But I want you to keep that in mind. Let's just take the whole number, 1,000 killed by police. And we still don't know the background, do we? But I do know the background on abortions. I'm looking at a piece that appears in the Arizona Capital Times, written by guest opinion, a member of the Arizona House of Representatives, Republican. I never try to hide the information from you. He said abortion impacts African Americans at a higher rate than any other population group. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released an abortion surveillance report. Black women make up 14% of the childbearing population, yet 36% of the abortions were obtained by black mothers. That means at a ratio of 474 abortions per 1,000 live births, black women have the highest rate of any group in the country. And again, I don't know their circumstances and situation, and I'm not trying to judge them. And neither should you. But I think about all we might have lost within that group. Maybe a future George Washington Carver who would have found something even greater than he did. I mean, there's so many that have contributed from the black population to this nation. The United Negro College Fund often is running an ad, and I hear it from time to time, and it lists different things they did. But did you know this was invented by a black, I don't know if they say a black man or a black person. But I think about all the contributions it could have made. Could there have been one, at least one in there that might have solved cancer for us? I don't know. You don't know either, do you? We'll never know, because those babies never got a chance. Could they have grown up and become a thug? Yeah. How many white kids could grow up become a thug or a gangster or killer or whatever? Or join the Proud Boys and become an idiot? But for these women to decide, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving Day with an essay titled, "We're Thankful for Our Abortions." We're thankful for our abortions. Folks ask all the time, is this program just about politics? I say it's no, it's not. You can read politics into what I just told you. I'd prefer you to look at the decency side, the children being sacrificed. That's what I would ask you to look at. Coming up, some changes that might affect this program you need to know. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worthy of love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so let me share with you something that's going to be affecting this program and where you can hear us. And I want you to make sure you understand this is not put blame on anyone. Things happen in this business. Stations are sold, they change. It's possible we could still be here for a bit longer or not. But obviously, at this point, I'm also making it clear that we're open to taking another move, but I want a good prime position so I can serve you the best way. And I have offers to do something entirely different, but I like this program. I like doing it. I've been doing it since 2014, and I've built up a tremendous audience with it, and I thank you for that. I have posted, by the way, at Larry Connors USA, both, well, that's my radio page, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and then just Larry Connors Facebook, a list of the sponsors that keep this program on the air. These folks that I have on there, I've had others come and go, and I thank them as well, too, but they're either seasonal or something else came up. COVID hurt some of them. But the ones you're going to find on this page when you go there, they've been there and they continue to be there and they will be there. And if you have time in your day, phone numbers are there. Just take a moment to call and thank them for sponsoring this program. That's how we are here. That's how we will stay on the air by at finding another location, another station. Quentin and I would like to keep serving you and bringing you good programming. This is the most engaging, fast-moving program in the nation, to be quite honest. I've had people come in here and watch and see what Quentin does. They shake their head, I don't know if I can do that. And I kind of think they probably can't, but it's a learning curve. I mean, when I first started learning to fly, that I could fly okay, and then they moved me to a higher qualified plane with a retractable gear and everything else, and I'm behind the curve. Well, you can't get behind the curve. And he, as my director, can't get behind the curve. He's got to know where I am and where I'm going, because sometimes I get lost. And putting the program together, somebody said, look, we'll bring you a producer in. I said, I don't need a producer. I produce this program. I choose what we put on and how we go about presenting it. Is it always great? Probably not. Not the best every day. And yet, that's the goal, is to make it better and better. But again, I thank you for your support. We're going to be on the air at least through December 16th at this location at 1010. And I'll be keeping you posted on Facebook as to what happens next. But again, these sponsors that I put up on both Larry Connors USA Facebook or just Larry Connors Facebook, I'd encourage you to take some time, just make a call to them, thank them for supporting, and let them know you're calling because of that. It'll make them feel better, and it'll make me feel good, and they deserve support. Some veer away from this program. They're afraid it's too political. They think I am one single-minded. I'm not. I have some strong views. I don't back down from some, but I always try to give you balance. I quote you a source if it's from a leftist organization or right. I identify it so you know. I have a relative who is opposed to almost everything I say on the program, but I'm not going to lose a relative over politics or this program. And yet the program, the items I was just running about the women celebrating Thanksgiving by being thankful for abortions, I know this relative would not like what those women did. But other things I say that she would definitely have an issue with. That's okay. That's what we call freedom of speech. That's what we do here. You do not have to agree with me all the time. Quentin doesn't always agree with me. I agree that he probably is. He says he's a good basketball player. I've never seen him, but he says he is. I won't take it for a fact. But here's the deal. We stay on the air with the support of the sponsors and with your word of mouth in addition to listening. Talking to several stations, not sure where it's going to go. Also have a lot of prayer involved in it, because the only reason I've been in this position and gone this far, I'm convinced, is God's had his hand on the program and probably slapping me around a little bit. I probably deserved it. But I do enjoy it. I enjoyed being on a time where we could talk and share some ideas. And you're right, I don't take phone calls because we did in the beginning, and sometimes people were just, they didn't seem to know where they were going, and it was taking time, and I just would much rather run a tighter, different program. There are plenty of other stations that are open for you to do that, and they're all nice people, and I would say nothing bad about them. But if you ask me, which is the best program in town in talk radio, I've got an answer for you, and you're part of it, and I thank you very, very much. We will be back Monday, and we've got some things already lined up. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.